Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We are listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your old team, I'm Alfred. It's good to be live and back on the air with some degree of sanity, having survived Lynchburg, having survived Appomattox, having survived the Pettus Bridge, having survived old America and have come into new America. It's good to be alive and among the living. Dear beloved people, I'm not going to prolong the agony. We've been waiting to hear our brother, who continues on the theme of debunking the myth of Ham. God knows, that is, we say in the Quranic language, Allah, also spoken in the Arabic Bible, Allah, highly glorified is He. We seek His answers, we seek His forgiveness, we seek His mercy, and we certainly seek His understanding. That people running around in the name of Islam, with the name Muslim, and they're beheading people and doing all kinds of atrocious things, it's time for an answer from the Lord of the world. And the Lord of the world, all system of knowledge, has been so merciful to us, and He's been merciful through us, the African American, the ex-slave, to give us an answer for humanity. And without further ado, I'm going to give to you our brother and friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Salam, who is reporting from the last battle station of the walls of Jericho as it came mightily coming then down, and now we are full-fledged citizens in America, full-fledged citizens in the global community of Islam, full-fledged citizens in the African-American community, all with an independent mind. Now my brother and my friend, and your brother and your friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, as I greet you in peace. Next week, you will hear him. God willing, we'll be at the Muslim Convention in Tinley Park, Illinois. Take 80 all the way in to Tinley Park. All roads lead to the Mosqueers Convention. And remember, on Saturday, we will be conducting a workshop called Religion Means Alive. Without further ado, your brother and my brother, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
With Allah's name, the praise and the thanks is for Allah. We thank Him for the gift and blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of Allah, and what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible, it is given in the Quran. Dearly beloved Muslims, friends, agnostics, believing people, atheists, and all between, we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Let me just thank our brother, Imam, for that very kind introduction, and we ask God to bless his efforts at the Mosqueers Convention when he speaks on the topic of religion means alive, and surely Allah is the living. And when we talk about what we're going to talk about today, we have to understand that what's being commented upon could not really be a result of reflection if we did not have a living God who was fully in charge of his affairs. It would take a living God that's alive, that's eternal, that's absolute, to orchestrate with such exquisite precision the web of events that's unfolding before the world in this day of Yom Medin, this day of the Deen, this day of religion, this day of the collection of the debt, this day of Yama Kiyama, the resurrection of the original nature of Adam. Oh, yes. Normally, I'm a passionate presenter. If you can, those of you who've listened to me over the weeks, and we don't apologize for the zeal and the passion and the enthusiasm. But if I have an extra dose of that today, it may be because today in this wonderful American democracy, I was down in a place called Dothan, Alabama. And then in this week, where there's so much controversy about the interaction of law enforcement, and I've always been one in my governmental and political life that's understood the role of law enforcement, that has respected law enforcement, and that has insisted that everyone else respect law enforcement. But I was in Dothan, Alabama, and I was leaving Barnes & Noble bookstore, and I got a chance to be taken back down in the valley to experience what my brothers and sisters are experiencing every day. Sometimes too often in this American democratic order, I believe in it, I support it, I acknowledge with all its flaws and deficiencies, it's probably the best thing going on on the planet, even above the so-called Muslim countries. Some of these Muslim countries are fit to be called a country, a civilized office. I mean, civilized order. More or less a Muslim country. Don't be telling me about no Muslim country. I don't see any Muslim countries. I don't see any countries following the Quran and Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. I see a people that has disobeyed the prophet when he gave us two things, the Quran and his Sunnah, and excuse me, we've gone far straight. So yes, America with all its blemishes, and believe me, there are blemishes, and I experienced some of that today. Here I am, an American citizen, an officer of the court, a veteran government figure in the state of Alabama, engaging in the purest form of American democratic monetary capitalistic enterprise, minding my own business being busy about the business of my economic business. Foot loosened, fancy free. Got up early this morning after Fajr. Left my home with the intent to get my share of this material world. That's what America's all about. I couldn't, however, complete my mission without having to be treated like a fifth-class citizen. All my life work didn't mean anything. When these two officers came up to me talking about, let me see your ID. And to add insult to injury, wanted to put me through a process where as a human being, I could not defend myself. You can't say a word. If you say something, we're going to arrest you right now. Well, why am I being detained? Why do you need to see my ID? Hush! Don't be raising your voice. What you mean don't you be raising my voice? You are invading my privacy. You are insulting my dignity as a human being, and you gonna tell me I cannot ask why? What you mean I can't ask why? I thought this was the beautiful home of democracy. And you won't come up to me and break me down like a little child when I'm a dignified human being. You can't arbitrarily, capriciously, and irrationally deprive me of my inherent rights as a son and daughter of Adam on a high spiritual level, more or less on the law level of a citizen of these United States. I don't have time for a whole lot of diversion of energies in this day and time. But I can understand the feeling as to how to be immediately stripped of all semblance of human dignity. When any little man thinking that's because he has some authority, he can come up and speak to you and treat you any kind of way, and you don't have anything to say about it. I'm busy. I got a lot to do, and in my younger days, I probably would be getting born today, but I've learned over time to exercise discretion and wisdom, so I just went through the motions. But that the police department has not heard the last of Yusuf Abdus Salam. No, indeed. No, indeed. And it's a shame because the majority of officers are not like that. And I grew up in Jim Crow South from 1948 to roughly 1966 when it is outward form Jim Crowism was dismantled. And I've never been humiliated in my person by law enforcement, even during the harsh days of Jim Crowism. I've had problems with law enforcement. It was because during that period of my life, I was giving law enforcement problems. They had a right to confront me, and I confronted them. No problem. But as long as I was law-abiding and was not aggressive in my challenge to them, I didn't have the kind of problem then in America back during Jim Crow days that I had today. We really need to study this militarization, this super authoritarian attitude that's beginning to penetrate the psychology of those who have been commissioned by law to protect and serve, to not heap scorn upon individuals that they do not deserve. That's enough of that. I'm a student of Imam Muhammad, and it's only so far we'll go with that, because we see something so big and beautiful that that kind of stuff can only be a temporary irritant. We have to move on now and do our job. But if you hear me with a little excessive passion from what's normally a passionate presentation anyway, please be patient to the brother. May Allah forgive me for my sins, shortcomings, and you and yours, and may we all be granted the blessings of paradise and saved from the torment of the fire. We like to talk about today, as we continue, the bunk in the midst of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. By the way, it's in the same city of Dothan that of a so-called statue of Prophet Yusuf, because biblically says in Bible that Yusuf was taken down to Dothan. But it is also in this city that I had one of my life's greatest epiphanies, an internal inspiration and recognition that I need to preach Wallace for the rest of my time on earth. And when I say reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam, I'm referring to the life of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, whose excellence debunked the myth of Ham forever. This idea that the sons of Africa are somehow made of inherent inferior material, inherently inferior material, and that we are not suitable to take our place at the table of human brotherhood. Our subtopic, debunking the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam, we like to talk in reference to the story of Noah and the Bible, which is a source that has been used by the white supremacists to craft and to forge the myth of Ham that influenced Western life for so many years and was one of the causal variables that led to global attempts to establish universal white supremacy with an invisible white God. Subtopic, make the Ark of Gopher Wood. And when you see the Eora in Ferguson, you see the PHERA, the same sound, but different spelling. P-H-E-R-A in Gopher and F-E-R-A in Ferguson. And these two words are reversed. In Ferguson, we have F-E-R-G-U. And in the English language, the vowels are used interchangeably, especially the letters O and U. That's why when they want to take us out, we have the word O-U-T, because those letters O and U are oftentimes used interchangeably. So at the beginning of Gopher, we have G-O. With Ferguson, it's reversed. F-E-R-G-U or G-O. Make the ark. Subtopic. Make the ark of gopher wood. Making the ark of gopher wood has brought death and mayhem to the hood. I repeat our subtopic today. Making the ark of gopher wood has brought death and mayhem to the hood. I think the words death and mayhem speak for themselves, and we know as American in the slang vernacular, we know what the hood refers to. The word gopher and Ferguson. Fur, PH, the error in injecting urine in religion. We know the vulgar term for urine. It's called pee. PH. What's the H? The diabolic scheme of promoting schism in the people. When Shem or Shimson wanted to destroy the temple, he went and formed the letter H. He told him, even in his blindness, go and put me between the two pillars. Let me promote a schism in the soul of the collective order. And I guarantee you I can bring it down. What is the go and what is the go? In the word Ferguson and in Gopher Wood. The go is to giving oneself over to material life in the excess, to the extent of idolizing the material force in creation. That's what we have in the myth of Goliath. Goliath, the myth of getting up and go, that somehow that we can establish societal excellence with material life. And we see the myth of Sisyphus that challenged that Goliath, where Sisyphus tried to get on top of the world by rolling materialism of rock up the mountain, and it would get halfway, and it would roll back down. And they said in the story of Noah, make the ark of gopher wood. So the goo and the go refers to the material forces. And look at that, S-O-N and son. I don't have to tell you about that. The false religious idea, the ice, the forged artificial teaching that God Almighty had a son who was named Jesus, and that he was physicalized, crucified, put on a cross, and elevated before the sons of Ham and others as their Lord and Savior. That's what Gopher is all about. That's what Ferguson is all about. Making the ark of gopher wood has brought death and mayhem to the hood. That's enough of opening statement for my legal training, even though that was not delivered in the kind of dispassionate legal form that would be given in a courtroom with opening statement. And that's the bit. We've laid a foundation for what we plan to discuss today, and now we must make our case from that opening statement. We must extend and extrapolate, and inshallah, add evidence to evidence to prove the case. But we cannot do it without the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and divine providence. We see in the word providence itself proof and evidence. So as a result of the grace of Allah and his divine providence, we make our case. Anytime a lawyer makes a case, he must rely on precedents, those principles and laws that have governed a similar situation in terms of the past. But in the life of a lawyer, most man-made laws are not eternal and absolute. But the laws of Almighty God, Allah, that's revealed in his holy book, cannot be overridden by any human decision. These laws are eternal and absolute. So as we make our case, let's turn to the spiritual laws and guidance of Quran Mubin, Quran Kareem, as we open up today. You know, in this year 2014, Hollywood made a movie about Noah. They had graphic Hollywood imagery about Noah, and Noah, peace be upon him, and his three sons. They secretly tweaked that ham thing a little bit, but they left that same basic mythology out in the atmosphere in that movie, even though the wise can see a little tweaking and a little modification. But all the common folks saw who viewed that movie, that Sam, that Ham was an outcast, that Ham was not fit for the human family, that Ham did not belong to the table of human brotherhood. Well, what that got to do with Ferguson? It got a lot to do with it. The man who produced that movie was named Darren. That savage, primitive law enforcement agent. That summarily executed Michael Brown, also was named Darren. Who put that together? You and I certainly didn't. The Shaitan does not have that kind of knowledge and wisdom to put that together. Allah allowed that. Not a leap fall without his permission. We're going to make the connection, inshallah, as we move along. Darren Aronofsky made that Noah movie. And his officer, Darren Wilson, well, are you just against law enforcement? Look, there was another killing in North St. Louis. a young man was killed by two officers. I don't like none of this killing. If we had an Islamic Umar, Imam Muhammad said that wouldn't even be in the need for policemen. More or less talking about policemen armed to the teeth. So on an objective, ideal, spiritual level, I don't believe in none of that. Toting up heavy weapons and shooting folks down. But in the context of American culture, I can understand why there would be a disposition in this gun rule culture that if a person has a knife, is in the vicinity of law enforcement, that it's justifiable for them to use force. I understand that. I'm not knocking that, even though as a spiritual man, I disagree with all that. I'm a man of peace. But that Michael Brown thing was abject murder. Was abject murder. Ain't no ifs and ands or buts about that. That was abject murder. We have to be very careful. We cannot paint a broad brush. As a city councilman and state representative, I had very good relations with law enforcement. But let me tell you, our holy book teach us to take a stand against justice, even against even if it's against your own selves, against your kin. And when my mother, may God forgive her sins, the only time I basically challenged her is when she wanted me to go along with some injustice. I took a stand against my own mother who brought me out of her womb. When she took a stand, that was unjust. So I'm going to tell you right now, if Lord forbid, would anybody else do anything unjust, I'm going to follow, inshallah, we're going to follow the Quran. And we're going to take a stand on justice. Well, brother, our religion is universal. We shouldn't get caught up in all this. Where did you get that from? One of the universal laws of God is his attribute is El Adam, the just. Allah is just. He created this universe in truth and justice. The fact that we believe in universality and the oneness of mankind and the oneness of God does not mean that if we see an injustice by a black man or white man or yellow man or any other so-called man or woman, we can't call it out because we caught up in some serpent, otherworldly idea of oneness of humanity. That's not our deen. Let us go to Quran as we challenge Darren Agronsky, this producer who made this movie, Noah. If you want to see how this world life thinks, go and take a look at that movie. I wouldn't waste 10 seconds breaking it down today, but you go take a look at it. This is from Surah 71, Nur, about Prophet Nur, Salawat alayhi wa salam. The name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. He has taught us when we read this Quran to seek refuge in him in a away from the rejected Satan. Nur, this is Ayah 21 through 28, I'll read it and comment on just few small words. We're all students of Quran and students of the Tafsir of Imam Muhammad, and you know what I know. So I don't have a need to try to engage in any kind of heavy Tafsir about these Quranic verses with you. That would be presumptuous on my part. and may reflect even a little arrogance. Noah said, "Oh, my Lord, they have disobeyed me. They follow men whose wealth and children give them no increase but only loss." This is the only portion, inshallah, I want to reflect on. And they have devised a tremendous plot. And what we seeing playing itself out on the planet today is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala checking as he promised to check in all battered world scriptures the tremendous plot that came from the shaitan himself and all other plotters are mere imitators, those who mimic the grand plot of the shaitan himself. And they have said to each other, "Abandon not our gods, abandon neither Wad, Suwad, neither Yahoo, nor Nasa." They have already missile many, and grant thou no increase to the wrongdoers, but in straying from their mark. This is what Noah was all about. Not what the movie said. It said because of their sins, they were drowned in the flood, and we made them enter the fire of punishment. And they found in lieu of Allah none to help them. And Noah said, "O my Lord, leave not of the unbelievers a single one on earth. For if thou do leave subhanallah any of them, they would but mislead thy devotees. And they will breed none but wicked, ungrateful ones. O my Lord, forgive me, my parents, and all who enter my house in faith, and all believing men and believing women, and to the wrongdoers grant thou no increase, but in perdition. Surely Allah speaks the truth." Now let's go to the Bible. That wonderful book that has two sounds, the sound of pure revelation from God and the deceitful, artificially grafted sound of Satan, the Babel. And they let us know from the beginning with this word, Noah, that Noah is, did we not talking about a prophet? Look what they say, Noah. Let's flip that all around and Noah, you get high like in derision of laughter. Ha, ha, ha. Aha. To the wise, the hen is sufficient. This is not about Allah's prophet, Noah. No, this is not, no. This is not a prophet. This is our created, crafted, and artificially forged prophet. Because as the shaitan, everything our Lord does, we attempt to imitate. So this is our Noah. No, we got him deceived. Ha, ha, ha. This is not the real prophet Noah we talking about. You go and search Quran Kareem, pure revelation, and see whether in that surah you see Allah tell Noah to go make an ark of gopher wood. an artificially constructed religious edifice. And in Webster Third International Dictionary said, yellow wood. This is not the original potent revelation from God. We have weakened this. It's not the original post. It doesn't have the original potency of revelation. Can't you see? Can't you peek into the scheme? Can't you peep into the plot? Can't you peep into the conspiracy? Make the ark of gopher wood. And how do they destruct this artificial edifice of grafted lies, weak ideas, and wrong thinking? They divide it up in the book in three stories. The first story, that's the little knowledge to the masses. That's the peel on the fruit, the exoteric knowledge. Then they build this artificially crafted edifice in terms of high academia. That's the mesoteric training that we get in academia. That's the meat of the fruit. But those artificial inseminators who throw out the seed to the collective culture, they're not satisfied with superficial or surface or esoteric knowledge on the first floor. They're not even satisfied with mesoteric or academic or higher learning on the second floor. Because they desire to manipulate, maneuver, and control human life. They also want to master what they call the seed as inseminators of the life of this world. Their little secret esoteric knowledge. So they constructed the ark, the edifice of weak constructs. Spiritual constructs, mental constructs, ethical constructs, inferior, yellow wood, gopher wood. And finally, this artificial knower, we know in pure revelation that the sixth is very important with the resurrection of Adam. But when we see it used in the context of the devil sound in Bible, it refers to the beast, to the Satan. And it says that the flood came when Noah was 600 years old. That's the revelation. That's not the Noah of Quran, the Noah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that's the Noah that has been concocted by the Shaitan himself, 600 years old. Now, you go on in that story, Genesis 7:18-29, they talk about how Canaan, the son of Ham, was cursed, giving rise to cannon fodder that wicked and evil people would use to justify for centuries the enslavement of African American people and the perpetration of a dastardly doctrine of white supremacy. And we see the same implications in this movie that Ham is cursed, even though they twisted for the wise and suggested that something happened with Ham when the Imam came along. And then the sons of Ham in the movie, the guy said, "Why, you finally become a man, Ham," referring slickly to Imam Muhammad. But I said I wasn't going to get into the movie. So we see the individual from the people of the book, Darren Aronofsky, who made this movie called Moore. His name is Darren, and the officer that shot him is also named Darren. What is this trying to tell us? What sign, evidence, lesson, and proof can we get from reflecting upon these two names? Well, if you go and scientifically study this name, Darren, it's related to two terms. On the surface, we can't see it, but it's related to the word, the root of it, to the word dot. A dot is a weapon that one throws at a target. So a dot is a symbol of aggressive weaponry used to harm. So this man, Darren Wilson, lived up to his name, Darren. When he fired that bullet, that dot, at Michael Brown and viciously murdered him, he truly was effectuating and living up to the maximum level, the meaning of this word, Darren, an aggressive attribute. A dot, a missile, a bullet, a murderer, a slaughterer. Not only does this word, Darren, means dot, but it also means D-A-R-W-E-N, a form of Darwin, like Charles Darwin, who the supremacists use as, let me put it this way, a robe to hide themselves behind when they use this theory of evolution to justify aggressive, non-merciful, unmerciful human behavior, the strong toward the weak, this idea of survival of the fittest. But that word also means oak, the D-A-R-U and the D, that means oak, the W-E-N-D-O means white. So the name Darren is actually related to the word white oak. What is white oak? The white oak is a tree. And what tree is that? The big global tree of white supremacy. And we see the remnants left in Ferguson, Missouri. This giant white supremacy that was justified by the idea that the sons of Africa, the sons of Ham, are cursed to be servants and slaves and inferior to all other human beings. So why did he use his violence to defend, to support, to buttress the great edifice, the great oak, the great white oak? That's what the name means of a white supremacy. It's amazing we study these signs of IS surrounding these contemporary events, these signs, but also lessons, but also evidence, but also proof of what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surely in charge of his affairs. That he's El-Mulk, the owner, the sovereign over what? Of all of reality. Man is not in charge of any affairs. No, indeed. Now, all this took place in the St. Louis area. Now, let us take this back. The outward St. Louis to the inner St. Louis to its origins. This word Louis is a combination of L-O and L-U, as I said earlier. What is that? How is that reflected in the Bible? The place L-U-Z. That's where Jacob had his dream, where he dreamed his plan and dreamed his scheme at a place called Bethel. But before it was Bethel, it was Luz. So you see, in this city, a reflection on the archetype of word for city, we see every city is based upon the pole in the ice. The pole, police. We're talking about police, policy, pole and ice. Samson in his scheme said, what's sweeter than honey? What's a greater tool of social control beyond physical might? Militarization of the policeman. Weapons. Physical coercion of the state. What's stronger than the pole? The ICE that's in police. That which is sweeter than honey. Artificially crafted religion designed to contain, designed to jar, designed to limit the masses. So we see this idea coming out in St. Louis. L-O-U, Luz, the ancient city. Where the people use these techniques of social control. As Roosevelt said, speak softly. That's the ice. That's the religious influence. That's the clergy. That's Balaam. But carry a big stick. That's Ferguson. That's the tanks. That's the tear gas. That's the mace. Speak softly and carry a big stick. And let's see what happened. The pole could not stop the people from coming out night after night. It's only when the ice men came, when the clergy came, and they began to march with the people, and they began to influence that was stronger than line, that was just stronger than police force. The ability of religion to enter into the hearts and minds of religion. It's only then that we see the crowds begin to moderate and tamp down on the so-called violence. Look at the name of the mayor of St. Louis. The name of the mayor of St. Louis is Francis Slade. Slade is the biblical term for kill. I didn't make this up. Allah set it up. I'm just reflecting on the signs in creation, on the signs. is the lesson there ever been in the proof of what that Allah is fully in charge of his affairs. So what does Francis say? This is saying that we have allowed a situation to develop now where the police forces, the poll can be used now. Francis means free, without any check, without any human decency, without any governmental order, without any control now. The force of the state can freely slay its own citizens. So that the highest governmental figure in that whole St. Louis County civilized and civilizational complex is a man named Francis Slade. But now in Bible, it goes beyond talking about slaying the body. Matter of fact, the word slay, let's look at it. Our secret knowledge as to how to put the masses asleep in these churches, in these masjids, in these synagogues. We're going to call them lay people. We'll be the clergy, which means scholar, the one with knowledge, but the congregants are going to be, their minds, their intellects are going to be slain. We're going to put them like Lazarus in a deep sleep, and we're going to call them lay people. And how are we going to slay their mind? We're going to feed their mind with lies, and so consequently, their soul will become comatose, and they will be called common people. People whose minds have been put asleep, have been slain. And another word for slay in Bible is slew. He slew him. He slew her. Let's look at the word slew. Don't you see the same L-E-W that's Lou, that's in St. Louis? Lou. So how? Where did we get this knowledge as to how to slay the minds of the people? We got that knowledge, the spirits of the people. It come from ancient times. It come from pagan civilizations. And the people of the book studied that pagan knowledge and added knowledge of revelation and changed the knowledge and evolved the knowledge from Luz to Bethel. But originally, the knowledge came from the pagans. And Jacob took it up another notch at Bethel, mixed the wisdom of the pagans with the wisdom of revelation. And he said, I guarantee you, I got to know how to run this thing now. Let's keep moving. Well, brother, that was an accident this morning. Excuse me, audience, I had an interruption with a phone in the background. St. Louis, a sign that we're in a state now of judgment where Allah is judging all this religious technology that goes back to the ancient city of Luz. When you spell it with the old L-R is the Wizard of Oz. You've seen it on TV. O-Z and U-Z, Oohs and Ahs. Yeah, we hope to see the Wizard today. We checking that Wizard of Oz. Now, let's look at this word. Look, it means to bend. It means to turn away. To turn the people away from the Saratah Musaqim, the straight way that's been rooted and designed by Allah and rooted in the natural fitra itself. And it says to pervert wickedness. And then it goes on to say the original name of Bethel in Genesis 28:29. The original name of get that out of here. 28, 8:19. Then it says, a place named Luz was built in the land of the Hittites. Remember I told you that one of the military strategists, the poem strategists, with the party of the book that has become wicked, with their own people, they use allegedly and in theory the ice, the sweet approach. But with outsiders, with the Gentile, they use the approach of the Hittites. But even in the word Hittite, we see the same combination of the pole and the ice, the police. The pole, the hit is the pole, and the tight, the T-I, is the doctrine of the cross. There me basola T, the cross. Hit tight, the tighter people with the serpent emotional doctrine of the cross. And it say that it was built by, the city was built by a man of Luz, and they renamed it Bethel. Jacob did. This man with his family was spared. Not a physical man. That meant that this man, this scientist from these pagan people with his school of thoughts, that knowledge was not rejected at Bethel by Jacob. Jacob accepted that knowledge and integrated that knowledge into his thing at Bethel. It said was spared when they conquered Bethel and destroyed the Canaanites. He'll get everything is tied into Ham and his son Canaan. But that just didn't happen back then. The sons and daughters of Africa, their hearts and soul have been slain. They tried to slay us with these artificial religious teachings. Well, brother, you making up this stuff. Well, there is a fixture, African-American fixture, councilman, put what was going on all over the internet. Now, this mayor is tied into Francis Slade. Francis is a former prince. But now, this African-American in a whole nother context, I ask you, how many brothers have you known that's named French? So a lot of that, his name is Anthony French. This is a design. This is intelligence. This is wisdom. How is it that in this incident, you're going to have French related to this man named Slade, and then this other governmental official, African-American, is named French. Well, brother, that's just accident. Not a leaf fall without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's El Latif. He understands that all the finest subtle mixtures, moves that he and mysteries he intend to execute. He weaves and ties together all of reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, yes. How do we get in this shape in terms of contemporary modern life, in terms of American history, and in the long view of history? In order to figure that out, all we got to do is look at the current events. There's a man by the name of John Dean. He was formerly on the staff of the late President Richard Nixon. Richard Milhouse Nixon, President of these United States. And John Dean, while all these events are unfolding, John Dean has a book out about all of the nefarious and illegal activity in depth of the late President Richard Muellerhouse Nixon. Out of Montana, there was another politician who was running for Senate. He too was named John, but his name is John Walsh. John Dean and John Walsh. Hitting the news at the same time, synchronized, coordinated, connected up, correlated by the Lord of all systems of knowledge. But have you noticed the name of the governor of Missouri? The last time I checked, he had the same name as this former president of the United States. His name is Jay Nixon. Now, what is this saying? If we really study the contemporary problems in American society, brothers and sisters, when we go back to the 60s in our history, to the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Dr. King in the Civil Rights Forces in 1964, Richard Nixon, 50 years ago, was involved in a gubernatorial contest in California, and his opponent was not one named Brown. Now, I'm not going to tie that in again with Michael Brown and all this and that right now. He had a son. He has a son that's governor of California right now, whose name is Jerry Brown. Well, back in 64, a few years after Kennedy defeated Nixon, Nixon ran against Pat Brown as governor of California. He lost that election, and he left the stage with abject paranoia permeating his whole countenance. And he told the world that the media does not have him to kick around anymore. And he came back in the power after the over-militarization of Chicago by Mayor Richard Daley, that had the same first name as Richard Nixon. And from that militarization in Chicago at the 1968 convention, Richard Nixon was able to play on the American sentiments of law and order, and he is the source, the origin of much of what we see in playing out in white and black America today. He set loose the FBI on the Panthers. What's the difference between shooting Michael Brown in 2014 and blowing Fred Hampton and Mark Todd away while they slept in a Chicago tenement? It all goes back to Nixon. But Nixon represents Esau, the political leadership, the Duke of Edom, as the Bible calls it. But according to Genesis, the Duke, the political leadership, the prince, made submission to Jacob. Esau made submission to Jacob. And so we see, yeah, in a secular political sense, Nixon is the problem, but the real problem is that fella that's pulling the Gentile or Esau puppet, strings, I'm sorry, the good rope that's around you. The good rope that's around JCJ in front of J is short for Jacob. So, yeah, we can look at the American political order. We can call these European races and all that. Part of it's true. But if you don't look underneath the surface at the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad Carter, then we're not going to see the real problem. The real problem is that Jaybird, who wanted to become Prince of the Air, Jacob himself. And who did Jacob implore? Look at this other fella out there in politics today making the news in Texas, just been indicted, Richard Perry or Richard Peter. See, Perry means little Peter. Not only did Jake get Edom the political order, he got the religious order of Peter. And he went to him with this scheme after the temple was sacked. And he said in the book with two signs, say, I will destroy this temple in 3 days. I will get them with the Trinitarian doctrine, which I will orchestrate on the objective plane at the Nicene Council in 325 AD, manipulate the forces where Constantine will make the Trinity a state bold and enforce law throughout the Roman Empire. But now when you hear that build a temple up and destroyed in 3 days, the sound of the everyday person don't get the Trinity. But the man was talking about, he was saying that I will construct this thing on the three-in-one doctrine. The old temple that was destroyed was based upon, hear, Israel, the Lord your God is one. This little Peter, this church, was based upon three in one. You listening to a donkey who's speaking with a man's voice. All those MSNBC pundits. All those unscrupulous pundits on Fox News. All those bench stragglers on CNN trying to play both ends of against the middle in the name of objectivity, lukewarm. You need to be spewed out, CNN. You won't take a stand to the right like Fox or to the so-called left like MSNBC. All of you pundits, let's accumulate and assemble. Why the sign of truth is high. And let us engage in a rational debate. And you can come with your multi-party syllable words. And you can sling your rod to try to dazzle the people with these multi-party syllable words. But these students, these donkeys of Imam, we're going to bring out the rod of La Ilaha Illallah, and it's going to swallow up forthwith all that other foolishness you talking. Because clearly these events establish that there is one God, and if there is one God, there is one reality, and if there is one reality based upon unity and Tawhid, then everything must be correlated, interconnected, and an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. What's happening in Australia is connected to what's happening in Ferguson based upon the Abrahamic idea of Tawhid, not only unity of God, but unity of creation and unity of all of reality. That's the understanding we have. That's the wisdom that we have as darkies. And we're able to challenge what went down and lose with the wise, ancient, pagan, secular philosophers. And then old Jacob got what they had and Simonized it. Simon said this, Simon said that. They Simonized it. They waxed it up and made it an even greater wisdom. Making the ark of gopher wood, putting the masses of people, sons and daughters of Adam, under this artificial religious doctrine that has permeated the planet for the last 2,000 or 3,000 years is what has ultimately created mayhem and destruction in the hood. Oh, yes, Michael Brown, Jane Brown movie, How Now, Brown the Cow. How do we control the world? We tearing the hide. We tearing the knowledge, and we hide it from the masses. We brown it. For all of you in the audience, I'm going to calm down now and demonstrate what Allah has blessed us with. This donkey was able to speak to a man's voice because he's a student of Imam Muhammad, the blessed Imam, who debunked forever the myth of Ham. Let him keep making movies. The myth has been debunked. Has been debunked. Bunk means to take the bunkum out of. D, to take the bunkum out, to lift the bunk out. What is bunk? The bunk bed. That which put you to sleep. That which put you, make you a lamb and put you in chaos like that lamb. It also means him and hemlock. That's what bunk means, hemlock. And that's what killed the rational, analytical, philosophical forces in the human being. So they gave Socrates hemlock. He gave them bunk. But we've been bunking these myths today. We debunking these myths today. Now let's go to, as we get ready to close out, language strategy, freedom for people, a new people, words by Imam W.D. Muhammad. I'm going to read some things very, very swiftly, given to us by a lady, ma'am, and we're going to let you go. Now, this is where he talks about how Jacob took the wisdom of Luz, these pagan philosophers and wise men, and created a new doctrine, a new edifice at Bethel. So the Imam said, now these pagans weren't devils, talking about the people at Luz. They were just masters of the human psychology. See, the way the Bible reads, the average masked man listens to that first sound. Anytime we hear pagan, we think stupid. If we look at pagan people today, most of the people we see in intelligentsia can be described as pagan, but they're not stupid. They're highly educated. They're not ignorant. He said they were just masters of the human psychology of the soul of the people, and they were able to dominate with their rule and keep the people pleased with their rule. And now he goes to talk about Jacob. Now here comes a new visionary, and he's gotten some help from some of the God's revelation, talking about how these forces from the people of the book, Lot said they looked at the revelation and saw something in it crooked and used it for a pittance in the life of this world, and I'm paraphrasing. So the man said, he's not quoting Quran surah by surah, but this is Quranic. To help from some of God's revelation to his prophets. Now, he's using the insight and revelation to his prophets or the nature of the original man, the science of how to rule the original man, how to master and kill or slay, Francis slay the original man. Then he said, that's Farage teaching. So he gets this knowledge and now aided and supported by ancient nations who were idol worshippers. Not really in reality, they were not idol worshippers. Their idols represented their wisdom, their psychology for mastering the souls of the people. It was only their general population, or the masses, in other words, or their citizenry that was conditioned to accept those idols as having power. It's the same today. The rule of this world's life know what's going on is only the masses who take all this stuff on face value and literally. They're brought into focus by the Quran We know these things can't speak, but they are means for communicating or reaching our objective, which is to rule and dominate the masses of the general population, not with the pole, not with the hit, but with the ice. Now, how in the world can any Muslim group on this planet reflect this scheme in religion that goes all the way back to ancient times, that came out of Egypt, the original loons, with that Isis mythology? But you notice, I don't know what happened. We've been talking about this Isis the last 3-4 weeks. Now the guys on television, they don't say Isis anymore. Check them out. They've changed from Isis to IC or whatever that is. They're not saying ISIS anymore. I heard the president talking about ISIS. Well, I told him it couldn't have been ISIS in the first place. Not if it's Islamic, not if it's Muslim, not if it's Sunni, or even Shia. There's no way they can identify with this scheme that the imam is talking about. He goes on to say, the rulers are thinking, we rulers don't buy it. We know these idols can't speak. But these are means for us to capture the ignorant or the uninformed in this particular science or matter and to master them so that they don't become a problem for our rule, for our leadership. That's ancient plot that was talked about in Noah. So these people devised a tremendous plot. And if you got so-called nations over there in the East that's involved with concocting this ISIS, then they have adopted the plot themselves, and they just as guilty as these other people because they want to control the Muslim masses and to keep them in ignorance. That tells me that we are underestimated the ancient world. They were not a bunch of stupid people worshiping idols. No, they were scientific. This is the man. And those idols represented only facets of human nature, different facets of human nature. And where this position is formed in the formation of human sensitivities and sensibilities can take society. If you manage that, then you can ride upon the constitution of human nature, quote unquote, the blessed Imam. The most important human being since Prophet Muhammad, by none. Since Prophet Muhammad and his Sahaba, the most important human being to hit the planet. A little bit more. Then he goes on, he said, Master Farad, or Professor Farad, or Master Farad, he was a master of in these sciences called Yaqub. He was saying, in other words, he was saying, Master Farad was the first one to turn us on to what Jacob started at Bethel. Yaqub and Jacob. Now, I'm not saying that. Then he goes on to say, so here comes a world that's formed by conspirators, tremendous plotters among the Zionists. The imam is saying that when he says Zionists, he's sticking to Quran by saying only a part of the people of the book is guilty of it. He's making it clear that they are good people of the book who follow Judaism, who follow our father Ibrahim. The imam is not so-called anti-Semitic. Here comes a world that will be demonic, satanic world. And this is the world that Allah is judging right before your eye. It's coming apart. This is the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This is Yom Medin. The day of deen, the day of religion, the day of the collection of the dead. Give him a minute and we'll close out. This is our imam. So they came in by force. They're talking about Jacob. No, let's go back. So what I'm saying is this, that there's the primitive in all people, but in the pagan world converted to Christianity by force. Constantine forced Christianity on his public, didn't he? Yes. But the imam is also suggesting that behind the puppet Constantine was a puppeteer. that had a rope around the neck of this European Constantine. So they came in by force. Those once Roman, Greeks, or whatever they were, or members of the idolatrous world, genetically speaking, have never been corrected. They still savage in their subconscious or in their primitive primary nature. They still have those wise tendencies. Look how they go to concurring. You can't give people that still have the residual of these primitive tendencies all kind of weapons of destruction, weapons of mass destruction, tanks, tear gas, all kind of pellets. You can't get at the people who have residual primitive forces in their subconscious. The doctrine of Christianity, the church didn't civilize them and take all that out of them. That's what the imam is saying. So they still have those wild tendencies. Look how they are concurring. They go all over the world concurring, though they had the signs and everything just like the East. And when they come back from concurring, they want to drink wine, have sexual orgies. That's how they celebrate their victory over other nations. All this military might. But in the same nation, look what we're looking at, a moral and spiritual cesspool where all kind of sexual obsession goes on. A man named Paul Stoner arrested for selling marijuana to small children in this country. He had the right name, Stoner, wanting to get the young people stoned. Not only that, though, that's what St. Paul did. The original seller of druggish ideas to the mind in the context of Christianity was St. Paul. He led us astray. Closing out, the conspirators of the Jews, they studied the nature of these ancient nations before. So in Scripture, he studied the nature of Gentiles, studied the nature of Esau, studied the European nature and their natural tendencies. So they designed a management for their culture. They put, as I say all the time, a rope around their neck, a good rope, a pleasing rope, the man say, for the management of their culture and their soul and their life. You weak babies out there, keep pointing your finger at the Gentile, at the white man, and at the Euro-American. Yeah, they get there some things. But you'll never be able to deal with your situation until you got the courage to look the purple tail, Jacob, right in the eye and call him out before the world, as the imam is doing. They designed it so that it would offer them, again, plenty of wealth and comforts, the biggest materialistic juggernaut in the history of mankind. I'm saying that, leading them to extremes of pleasures, and reduce them again to infants and babies. Can't control the desire for pleasure, for the good life of pleasure, for sex, for drugs, running amok. This is what the imam is saying. Even though we have high civilized order, all kind of technology and stuff, but we have been manipulated by these conspirators to a baby level. Then he goes on to say, a Jewish author wrote the book, The Infantilization of Man. I mention it to you all. About man has increased the pleasures of his world so much that now his world influences his nature to want extremes of pleasure and comforts. Without him knowing it now, he's no more socially mature as a real man. That's why they're publishing these books, The End of Man. So I'm going to run this thing until the end of the Gentile be. We're going to reduce the Gentile. We're going to lift him up. And then we're going to reduce him to a baby. But if he's rich, he can do anything he wants. So he buys expensive sports cars and things. In a real world, he's still productive. But his pleasure fulfillment is like a child's. He wants a world of toy. This is the man describing those people who have been managed and victimized, whose souls have been slain. by the scheme of Jacob, by the scheme of the Shaitan. This is why as a student we can come and do what we did and speak with a man, but there has never been an African-American leader in the history of this country that broke this kind of pertinent and relevant knowledge down to our people. King didn't do it. Elijah didn't do it. Malcolm didn't do it. Douglas didn't do it. Susanna Truth didn't do it. Mary McLeod Bethune didn't do it. Harriet Tubman didn't do it. Dorothy Height didn't do it. Rosa Parks didn't do it. They like John the Baptist. They're not able to, even as he said of Jesus, to lace up the Imam's shoes. Now, great wisdom in that. We don't have time. We must appreciate the magnificent blessing we got when Allah gave dignity to the son of Ham, my blessed Imam. Beloved audience, if I got over passionate, remember I told you there was an incident that overly geeked me up today. There's no excuse. But I have to keep it real. We thank Allah for this forum. Religion means alive, and we see that Allah is alive, that he is fully in charge of his affairs, and that he's controlling the affairs of the greater universe in one hand, metaphorically, and the affairs of mankind in the other hand. He neither sleeps nor slumber. He didn't create this world and go into a deep sleep, as Bible suggests, to leave Jacob and devils and imps to run it. No, indeed. And he's here today calling this world apart to account, as it was prophesied in every word of scripture, the coming of this day of Yom Kippur thousands of years ago, not just in Quran, but all the world scriptures. Dearly beloved audience, we thank you for your attention. We thank Allah. We ask for his mercy. We're humble by the tremendous task of standing for what's right, for preaching Wallace, who supported in his dream under the tree the champion human being, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And believe me, this donkey would not be preaching Wallace not one day if he didn't support Prophet Muhammad with every fiber of his being, if he didn't follow Quran with every fiber of his being. I would not be supporting the blessed Imam, but he did it. And there's no one in this audience that can contradict what I just said. So we thank you for your attention. We hope and pray that you understand. We leave you as we greeted you. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Imam, if you're there, acknowledge yourself and we open to questions.
Yes, sir. I'm here, live and well. Religion means a lot. If anyone has questions or comments, feel free. We also would like to say to you that we look forward to seeing you at the Mosque Cares Convention, the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I think this is the 25th convention. We're going to be there Saturday. I don't know what time. Stay tuned. We have an ad running on WBON radio. I think we're going to have a packed house. I think we're going to be talking more about the defeat of the forces within this community, and we've been battling. We've been battling them for the last 6 years, but I think they're slowly losing their grip on the people. Allah is ever in charge. I also would like to remind you that we still need donations. Send them to us, and appreciate those who have sent. Send donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. We thank you. We're traveling to Chicago via bus on Thursday, and I believe they still have seats on the bus. But I understand that others will be bringing buses. We expect to have a packed house. My question to the ma'am, if you were firstly a Muslim in St. Louis or in Ferguson, what would you be doing? And also, as a Muslim African American, what would you? just the question, what should Muslims as African Americans, how should they respond?
We should be in the forefront of standing upon justice until the smoke clears.
Yes, sir.
And then when the smoke clears and things come back to relative peace, then we need to be a source of guidance for the people. If there's anybody in the front line,
would you
standing
explain
on justice,
that when the smoke clears? And I think that's a very logical and reasonable explanation, but I want to hear your reasoning.
Well, until the smoke clears, there's a state of crisis and emergency. So the main thing that's needed by the champion human being is to stand firm for justice, not to stand firm for foolishness, but for justice. There shouldn't be a greater spokesman for justice than a person who clearly follows unadulteratedly El Adol, Allah, the just. So it shouldn't be anybody in St. Louis more as a spokesman for justice than a student of Imam Muhammad during this emergency. But once
yes,
that's over, then we need to come down to earth and deal with the needs of our people, those four birds, and begin to systematically work with them to address their everyday worldly concerns.
So, in other words, we would be correct if we start a community development class in Ferguson.
Soon as the smoke's clear.
Soon as the
By
smoke's
that,
clear.
I mean they get out the streets and sell line to normal life.
Yes, sir.
We should be
so
aggressively
putting
community development classes in every neighborhood.
Yes, sir. Now, I'm wondering, what is your opinion of the brain surgeon, neurosurgeon Dr. Cossens, I believe his name is. I'm just wondering if he seems to have, he's trying to be a politician, but I think he's engaged in malpractice. I think he should stick with medicine. What's your opinion?
Well, Brother Carson, he's tied to freedom of thought that came with Farad Muhammad in that old touring car. He's out of Detroit, but he never would did have the courage to tie himself up to reveal knowledge. He attempted to be a giant on the scientific level and to come baby on the level of revelation.
Yeah.
So when you like that, if you're not rooted in scripture, when you get out in the mundane world and start dealing with these secular discipline like government and politics, you'll make yourself a fool.
Yes, sir. I like that. And unfortunately, it seems that the doctor should go back to the surgical suite, the physician, that is, should go back to the surgical suite and leave the political suite alone. Would you not
because
agree?
He's mature. He understands the laws of the picture that God has put in the neurosystemic order of the human brain. That's fine, but he doesn't understand the science of Benjamin, the social, governmental, and political life, because he refuses to go beyond that little baby idea in religion that he was given with a millstone around his neck, as the Bible put it.
Yes, yes. I really feel sorry for him. I was riding the train home, and I happened to ride, and the young man across from me, he was well-dressed, looked like a Nation of Islam man, turned out he was U.S. Marshal. So we started talking about some of the African-American jurists that sat in the Southern District, and Robert Codd and others. And then I asked him if he had any occasions to meet Mr. Justice Thomas, because Mr. Justice Thomas is the supervising justice of the Second Circuit. See, he never had an occasion to meet him, and I said we had to pray for the brother. Because a lot of time our people just got stuck in class, became retarded, and didn't listen to the great teacher that God put before them, and went out of their own trying to make things. And God says in the Quran that those people are those who are the dawdling. They're wandering. So I said we have to pray for him, you know.
Well, look how his character was assassinated. He was not a student of the imam. He tried to deal with that whole issue of same-sex marriage, but he didn't have the science of public relations and knowledge that a student of the imam would have in going public with that thing. And so he allowed himself to be butchered when he took a stand that, in a sense, was morally solid. You don't remember that incident, do you?
Yeah, yes, sir, I certainly do.
Man, they heard him out.
I remember very well, but I won't name this reporter, but the reporter knew that that story that they purported to be a story about him had no real foundation in fact. He didn't harass Professor Hill. It was just, it's really an ugly thing. And what it is, the man was already been damaged by this color complex. And this, all it did was to hurt him more. And I was telling this U.S. Marshal about the two judges, one the father and son, Judge Barrington Parker, Senior Judge Barrington Parker, Jr. You know, we have come a long ways, and we can't deny that America has changed. We can't deny that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad helped knock the walls down, Dr. King knocked the walls down, and then Imam Muhammad told us how to walk within the walls. And really, Imam knocked down the real barrier and opened the doors where we could enter into America as a free people.
Exactly. The real Francis. You know, when Nixon started his shenanigans, it was an African-American brother, right as the imam turned 40, that pulled the cover off the whole Watergate thing, a brother by the name of Frank Wills. You remember him?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he never got his just due in the sun. He really was
never did. But what he did was a sign as to what the imam was getting ready to do with his mission on a higher level. But on a mundane level, that brother was ostracized, eliminated for any truthful participation in the society, and really never got his just dessert for a bold action
he
took.
You know, here's another brother that suffered, and we need to find him, and I want to bring him on Religion Means Alive. The brother that freed those women in Cleveland. No one has given him his just due either. And we should give him his just due. I hope we'll have a Religion Means Alive.
I forget his last name. His first name was Charles.
Yeah.
His first name was Charles. Yeah. I agree.
See, this is where we have to come in at. See, we are hiding in the sanctuary. I won't say the message because the message should be a place where all our concerns are put before God. We submit them to God. So it's only, I can say, we are hiding from people. We should be outspoken. I was telling a brother yesterday, today in fact, I said if we were in the Nation of Islam, on Friday night we would have been teaching on Ferguson. Now, the attempt was not to incite the people. We would have been inviting them to a better way of life. And that's what we should be doing now, is inviting our people. As the smoke clears, I like the wisdom. This shows you have all the training in politics. A preacher would go out there, maybe unwisely, and say something to the people that may actually not be good and could hurt our cause. So you have used great judicious wisdom to be applied to the circumstance of our people's lives. You're right. You can't talk to our people with a lot of sense, especially when they're in a crisis. So.
That's right. We have to wait till the smoke. Yeah.
Yes. Any other questions or comments? I'm hoping that we can take Religion Means Alive maybe in November or so to Ferguson. You know, we need to go to these towns. We need to go to East St. Louis, Gary, Indiana, Camden, New Jersey, the cities that have been neglected, were out of worst condition, just like Dr. King used to went to Albany and Montgomery, and they had a campaign. We need to have some cities.
I hope these bunkers at Juma shared all that bunkum, did not put our people to sleep the last 2 weeks, and didn't even take a second to mention Ferguson. I hope we don't have that kind of disaster going on in our sanctuaries. But we should have been talking about it in the context of revealed knowledge as well as bringing it up local and putting it out there plainly and on the surface so all the people can get to it. That's what this dean is all about.
We're going to have it next Monday. We're going to have a discussion on Ferguson. We're going to have Dr. Abdul Salam, who was a witness, an eyewitness, when the police smashed the head of our brother in 1959 in New York City. And
57, Hinton, Brother Hinton. That was 57, I think.
57, yes, sir, I believe it was. Dr. Salam was then. He could remember the year. I said 59, but I think it's 57. But we need to discuss this, how we handle the situation.
Excuse me.
And how it's being handled. But I was saying, to me, one of the Nation of Islam top ministers, Minister Akbar Muhammad, lives next door in St. Louis. What has he done for those people? So these are.
Well, I actually saw him in the street trying to do something the other night. A brother former Larry Prescott.
That's right. He should have been there a long time ago, as far as I'm concerned.
it's a little
too late. I mean, Mr. Farrakhan is known nationally, internationally. Those are prime cities, including his city of his residence, of Chicago. He should have been addressing those cities. We got a smoldering volcano happening in these urban areas, and we should be fully aware and working to solve those problems.
No doubt. Now, my sister, she's been on the forefront. A lot of people don't know it, documenting and bringing evidence of this snake that's developing in the country. It's so many incidents. She had me on the telephone. And I had to tell her to stop naming them, because sometimes our people can get so caught up that they project an aura of almost disillusionment. And as a student of the imam, I'm not going to let that get in me for so far. So I had to stop her. But, I mean, she's been telling me for the last 3-4 years what's going on in this country. But Ferguson brought it to the surface. And Allah has an uncanny way. Just like Carbon and Mary Smith, they sat on that bus in Montgomery before Rosa Parks did. But it's not them that was brought in the universal history. It was Rosa Parks. We can't explain. There's been other bad killings these last 3-4 years. But Ferguson, Missouri, brought it to a head in a large time. We can't deny that.
Hey, brother, ma'am, Missouri is the show me state, so we got it right in the show me state.
Everything was demonstrated up there. And people say, Salam, your language too strong. I quote Imam Muhammad. He said, if that snake ever rise up, cut his head off then. You don't remember that?
I remember that.
Said, cut the head off. Now, I believe in universalism, but if I see any snake of racism sticking his head up, according to my teacher, he said, cut the head off there. Not with a knife, but with strong verbal analysis and conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cut the head off.
Yes, sir. And I don't think we have been firm enough, and I think that's one of our weaknesses as a body politic, that we haven't been standing up for our people. We've left that to Farrakhan and other maligned and malingering forces. We should be standing up for justice. Who can stand up better than with the Quran? Yes.
Well, that's the point we made earlier, buddy, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I thank you and honor you and hope to see you in Chicago and others right at the Tinley Park Convention Center. All you got to do is take Route 80. If you're driving, but fly into Midway Airport, and we'll be there, God willing. Peace be on our noble and honorable
Brother Imam, keep the faith. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam.